What's up, everybody? You're now listening to the Truth Paste Podcast. I'm your host, Joe Jesse. And on today's episode, we're going to talk about LeBron James, a new show that he had come out recently, The Shot on HBO. As always, whenever LeBron says something, everybody is up in arms with what it is that he's talking about. We'll talk about that. And then we're going to finish it off with one of my favorite memories of all time, the story of the missing red button-up. As always, to those of you listening in for the first time, I appreciate it. Please leave me a rating. Those of you who have subscribed, shout out to you. Every time I see that people are listening to this podcast, it's crazy to me, man. I appreciate all the love and support. As always, real people, real topics, real funny. But real talk is truth paste. Brush up. All right, welcome back to Truth Paste. So, those of you who have been paying attention to what LeBron James has been doing from the moment that he became a free agent in Cleveland up until, I guess, really yesterday, a lot of you would have noticed or probably have heard that LeBron James has a show coming out on HBO called The Shop. There were a few clips released a few weeks ago, maybe a month or so ago. One clip of LeBron James talking about what it was like for him watching his kids play basketball. Another clip of Snoop Dogg talking about, you know, kind of his drive to be first. And then another clip from the episode has been surfacing around of Odell Beckham talking about what his life is like now and how he's compared it to being a zoo animal. So just to give you an idea of some of the people that were there for this conversation, you've got Odell Beckham Jr., you've got LeBron James, you've got Maverick Carter, you've got Michael Bennett, Snoop Dogg, Draymond Green, Candace Parker, you've got John Stewart, and I think that's it. I might be missing one other person. But it's essentially just a conversation about a number of different things. And to any of you who have ever been to or frequent a black barbershop, I don't know about any other barbershop, I only go to black barbershops. Any of you that go to black barbershops, you know that it's nothing but real talk in there. And that's essentially what LeBron James wanted to do with this platform, was give these athletes who have a voice, who have an amazing influence, these entertainers, these actors, actresses, etc., this platform to be able to speak their truths. And it sounds like that's what this episode was about. I didn't actually watch the episode. I only saw a couple clips, mainly the one that I want to talk about right now. So LeBron James is in the news right now for comments he made in regards to how he feels that there's a double standard for black athletes. This is something that was discussed on the episode. And LeBron James brought up kind of the comparison of what it's like being out in public and people, fans, wanting to take pictures with you or wanting an autograph or, you know, just whatever it is that they want, and kind of missing the idea that, hey, I'm a person too. Hey, I'm with my family. I'm eating dinner. I don't want to take a photo right now. And LeBron James went a step further, speaking, you know, his truth, talking about how black athletes, or celebrities really for that matter, have to deal with fans a different way than, you know, your popular white athletes. And he used the comparison of the best quarterback in the NFL is out at a restaurant and someone wants to take a photo with him. So they pull out their phone and they're trying to snap, you know, Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady or Eli Manning. Aaron Rodgers was, I believe, the example used in this. And LeBron James said, quote, you know, if I'm like, get that fucking phone out of my face, I'm with my family, end quote, people are going to be upset. You know, they're going to look at me like, you know, like I'm a dickhead. Like, let black athletes do that, and fans are gonna look at you like, oh man, fuck this guy, you're a dickhead. Odell Beckham sharing an actual story of that where people are yelling at him to dance. Odell, dance! Like he's some sort of show monkey, he said. He felt like a show monkey, and he's kind of like, you know, I guess this is what life has become, but damn. Like, what if I'm just out and about, like, getting some coffee? I don't feel like dancing. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sure there's moments like that. Like, you don't always want to dance, but I guess it comes with the celebrity. And so LeBron James was saying that let, you know, Tom Brady, Eli Manning, or Aaron Rodgers have kind of the same treatment where a fan runs up on them. It's like, I want to take a photo. And they're like, yo, get that goddamn phone out of my face. I'm with my family. I'm trying to eat food with my family. There's going to be a large group of people online after that video gets posted. They're going to be like, look, guys, we need to respect their privacy. We need to respect their space. But if LeBron James were to do it, that internet would be on fire with people just talking shit. And I think for him, yes, there's some truth in the fact that black athletes probably have to interact with fans a little differently. But I think in this particular instance, he's probably speaking more so about himself than most other celebrities. Because let's keep in mind, LeBron James is one of the biggest celebrities in the world. You know what I mean? Arguably one of the most popular, if not the most popular, celebrity in the world. So, one, the way LeBron James moves, he doesn't move like a regular person. And what I mean by he doesn't move like a regular person, I don't mean like physically walking. I mean, if LeBron James is going to go grab dinner, it's not like he just hops in the car, goes down to a spot, gets there, and is like, yeah, table for three, and just kind of hangs out until, you know, there's a table for him. I assume that's not how he moves, considering he is one of the most popular people in the world. My guess is that he's got a place in mind that he likes. If he's going out, they call ahead of time. They let them know that Mr. James would like reservations for X amount of people. He will be there around this time. Can you please accommodate him? Who's not going to accommodate LeBron James? You're driven there unless you decide to drive. Once you get there, you valet, maybe park in the back. Go in through a back entrance if there's, you know, paparazzi. Considering he's going to be living in LA now, that's something that he's going to have to deal with. It's not like there's paparazzi in Cleveland. But you go through the back, you go and eat, have a great meal, leave through the back, get in your car, and you go. Right? So if you somehow manage to catch a glimpse of LeBron James, enough to where you can ask him for a photo, chances are you're being very intrusive because he's gone at least the dis he's taken the necessary precautions to have as regular as of an experience as possible. And when you're 6'8", 250 pounds, it's already hard to not be noticed. But then, when you're the most popular 6'8", 250-pound person in the world, you're really going to get noticed. Right? And it doesn't help that you're black. Because now, any kind of sign of like disgruntledness or anger or just regular levels of frustration for having someone trying to invade your space with a goddamn camera phone while you're trying to eat your linguine is gonna have people kind of look at you like, oh my God, he's intimidating. So for him, he can't necessarily flinch at somebody like, get that shit away from me. You're 6'8", 250 pounds, bro, and you're black. You're fucking frightening. And you're probably the most athletic person on earth in regards to your size in comparison to your explosiveness. So, yeah, that's even scarier. So, really, who's gonna fuck with LeBron James? So, if you're gonna go and do that with LeBron, one, understand who you're fucking with, but two, he's gotta kind of understand who he is. And I'm sure he does. And I'm not saying that he doesn't have a right to voice kind of this double standard, because it's true. I believe that there's a double standard, and I think that it should be voiced. I don't know if LeBron James is the best person to give that example, considering how big of a star he is, but I think that there were plenty of other people who were in that discussion who could make that same comparison. Snoop Dogg, right, who might be even more popular than LeBron James, or as popular as LeBron James. You know, Draymond Green, well-known. Michael Bennett, well-known, but outspoken. Who knows how many people recognize him for football as opposed to, you know, his civil rights stuff and his protest and him protesting the anthem and things of that nature. So you kind of got to look at it and take it with a grain of salt when it comes from LeBron. But that's kind of how Odell got into the discussion, talking about how he feels kind of like a zoo animal. He said, you know, it was easily to relate to what LeBron was talking about, because, I mean, if there's anybody who you could probably spot a mile away, most likely it's Odell Beckham Jr. You've got someone who I think he's 6 feet tall, covered in tattoos. He's got that beard with that haircut that millions of kids are emulating these days. You're going to spot him, right? And I mean, the funny thing for him is, like, if you can manage to cover the hair, you've disguised Odell Beckham by like 70%, in my opinion. 30% of the people are going to recognize the beard, and I'm assuming that's if he's covered from wrist to ankle. Now, if he's in like a tank top and he's got hella tattoos, yeah, you're gonna probably recognize him. Because how are you gonna tuck in like that hair unless it's like in a hoodie? But considering at the time when this dropped, he had become I think he still is the highest paid wide receiver in the NFL. I think it was $95 million, 60 something million guaranteed. And as I'm recording this, Aaron Rodgers just got $100 million contract. Jeez Louise. I don't know how much of that was guaranteed. If I'm not mistaken, it was $100 million guaranteed. I don't know how many millions for the contract. Anyway, he's talking about how he feels kind of like a zoo animal. And he gave a great analogy about kids wanting to go to the zoo. So you go to the zoo and you want to see this lion. You want to see this ferocious lion. And you get to the zoo, and the lions are just laid out, right? Just basking in the sun. Just, you know, lay it out. But now you're upset. Like, why aren't the lions doing lion things? And really, they are. Like, this is what lions do. We just don't record this part. Like, you're used to seeing, whenever you see the lion, you're used to seeing the lion roar. You're used to seeing the lion attack. You're used to seeing the lion fight. You're used to seeing the lion, like, walk around. So when you catch this lion just chilling, you really don't want to see the lion like that. So you want to see the lion do lion things. So he was saying that people just start yell out, just, you know, just shit for him to do. Like, I mean, he says it doesn't make him feel good. You know, it's like, damn, what's life become? But can you ever really detach from that? And that's a very interesting question, is can you detach yourself from what has made you famous? And I think that the answer is no. And a lot of that isn't because these celebrities are unable to do so. I think that they could easily do so. The same way a lot of us go to work and we've got a work mentality or like a work voice or a work attitude, it's the same thing for them. They're going and they're going to work. Sure. They happen to get paid a lot of money for their job, and their job, for the most part, is a lot more enjoyable than other jobs. I'm sure they all appreciate the jobs that they have. But at the same time, it's work. So when you're going there, you're going to perform and you're trying to do your absolute best. So when you're not at work, why would you want to act as if you were at work? None of us, like, how many of us want to go to work on our day off? You hear it all the time. No one wants to go to work on their day off. And that's essentially what this is, right? Like, imagine going to work on your day off. And they just don't want to do this anymore. And I don't blame them. But I think the inability to detach what they do at work from who they are as a person isn't their fault. It's really more an issue of us as society, the fans of those celebrities. We don't want to. We don't want to run into Adam Sandler at a grocery store and not have him recite some line from our favorite movie of his. We don't want to see LeBron James and not ask him to do something amazing with a basketball. We're not going to run into fucking, I don't know. You kind of get where I'm going with this. Like, we love what it is that you do so much that we want it all the time. And the ironic part is that, let me be careful in this comparison, because now I think about it, I don't know how much it exactly applies. Because I think for sports, it doesn't apply as much as it does celebrities now. And I think us as a society, the fans, if we have elevated you to a higher platform, we may feel that you have an obligation to essentially perform what it is that you do that we've elevated to this new platform, if that makes sense. So, for example, if Odell Beckham... Now, granted, Odell, that catch against Dallas on Monday Night Football is what started this whole shit. Like, let me back up. His talent, drive, and determination, and hard work that he put in allowed him to make it to the NFL and start on an NFL team. His talent and that catch against Dallas is what kind of put him on the map, mainstream. But his personality, the look, the dancing, the charisma, the celebrity, rumors and girlfriends, that is what made him a star. And it didn't hurt that he kept killing it on the football field. So now, we know you're great on the field, but now there's this other part of you, which is part of your natural personality, that we enjoy just as much. So if I catch you at Starbucks, I'm not going to tell you, hey, Odell, let me see you run an out route. I don't have a football. If I had a football, I might throw it to you and see if you can catch it with one hand. I bet you people do that shit all the time. But if I just caught you doing the shiggy, yeah, most people are like, what the hell is a shiggy? The shiggy is what mainstream America has deemed the In My Feelings challenge. That just lets you know how big Drake is. Shiggy did the dance first, then weeks later, everybody's talking about, I'm doing the In My Feelings challenge. What the hell are y'all talking about? But you see Odell Beckham at Starbucks, and you're like, I want to see you do that dance. You may want to dance with him, whatever, but this nigga just wants his latte and a go. Like, I'm not here to dance, fam. Like, I'm here trying to get this coffee. I had a late night. I got to work out in, like, a couple hours. Like, I'm straight, bro. I'm not trying to dance. Like, I'm good. I'm sore. I'm trying to be the best football player I can be. And so I get it. Trust me, I get it. I totally understand what he's saying. I thought it was a very interesting conversation. I thought it was a very valid point. And I think that for a lot of people, they're going to get some insight from these celebrities about what it's like to be in the limelight. My hope is that this show can bring a little bit more, I don't want to say like a human element to these athletes, because it's not like, you know, it's not like they're not human, but I think that the perception of the lives that they live in regards to everyday things is a bit misleading. And I think for some people, there is this disconnect that because they are incredible at their craft, that they don't do regular shit like we do. Like, of course, LeBron James just signed this crazy multi-million dollar deal. Even if he didn't sign that, he'd still be super chipped in through endorsements with Nike and Sprite and whomever. But you got to remember that he's got three kids. He's got three kids. One of them's getting ready to go to high school. Another one's in middle school. And I think the youngest little girl is only a couple years old, maybe like 3-4 years old. Now imagine, like, you're a parent who works. And if you're a parent who works and has to travel for work, you know what it's like when you got to leave your kids. And you know the difficulties of what it's like when you leave your kids and you have to come home. Now, granted, if you had LeBron James money, life would be maybe a little bit easier in regards to being away, because financially your kids won't want or need for anything, but they need their parent there. And so if he's, you know, if he's gone all the time, you know, spending late hours at the practice facility because he had a bad game, he's going to come home and be like, look, you need, or, you know, let's say he had a bad game and he wants to put up some extra shots, but his son is like, Dad, I got a game. I need you to show up. What do you think he's going to do? That's something we all can relate to as parents. But if he chooses to stay at the gym, how many people are going to be like, oh man, he's selfish. He needs to go, you know, hang out with his kids. But then he goes to the game and then there's going to be people like, well, see, he went to L.A. just for the money. He's not actually trying to win a championship. Kobe would have stayed in the gym. Kobe would have skipped his daughter's basketball game and stayed in the gym. Like, you know, you can't win no matter what. And I think that this particular topic kind of showed the difficulties of what it's like every day as people interact with them as these, like, megastar and these super celebrities. But I think at the same time, or at least my hope is that people would have watched this and kind of taken in that interacting with these people is no different than interacting with a stranger on the street. The only difference is that you recognize this person because they spend more time on a television than anybody else that you know. If your next door neighbor, who you've known your entire life, was on TV your entire life, would you treat them any differently than your neighbor that lived next door to you your entire life? As opposed to your neighbor, your new neighbor moves in and you meet them and come to find out, oh my God, you're my, you know, you're that person that's on that TV show. Are you going to treat them like your new neighbor, or are you going to treat them like that actor that's on that TV show that lives next door to you? It's no one's fault. It is what it is. I think it's just interesting to listen to that conversation and kind of hear from the other side of these celebrities what it's like to deal with people who want these things. I mean, I guess I understand why people want photos with these people. Sadly, I think the majority of it is to post it for the gram, just so people could be like, oh, look who I ran into. Sadly, I don't know how many of these people actually keep this shit. Like, you know, how many people take a photo with somebody, print it, and frame it? Probably not that often. You know, how many people meet somebody, snap it, and gram it? Probably all the time. So, I mean, it's just a different kind of world. All right. So, welcome back. Got a story to tell. Shout out Fug Flex. I got another story. This one might be one of my favorite memories of all time. This is the story of the lost red button up. So the story takes place when I think I'm 19 years old, and a group of us go up to Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, for those of you who don't know, because the drinking age is 19 and they've got a lot more nightclubs out there than they do in Seattle, especially ones that are accessible for those under the age of 21. So boom, as soon as I turn 19, I'm up there. A lot of my homeboys have been up there a year or two before I have. So I hear about how cracking the clubs are and, you know, just, you know, the girls and all this stuff. And I'm just like, damn, like, I can't wait. You know what I mean? Because I'm out here at these, I'm 19 at the 18 and up spot, which is okay. But like being, you don't want to be 20 at the 18 and up spot that doesn't serve alcohol. Wait, no, let me take that back. You don't want to be 20 at the 18 and up spot that doesn't serve alcohol. There we go. Yeah, so like there was a club at the time where you had to be 18 to get in, but they didn't serve alcohol. So really, the cutoff was like 18. They really used to like cut you off at the door. Like if you were, I think, over the age of 24, you weren't going to get into the club, which is understandable. Like, why are you 25 going to a club full of 18 to 20 year olds, bruh? Like, get out of here, creep. But we go up. It's me, three buddies of mine, and we decide we're going to go out to this nightclub. I forget the name of the club, but they had been there once before. They said it was really cool. They played hip hop, which apparently isn't something that a lot of places were doing at the time. So obviously we want to go where they're playing the music we want to hear. So we're getting ready. Now, my buddy Marcus, the names have been changed to protect the innocent. So my buddy Marcus, Kev, and then Jeff, we're all about to get ready. So we're going in rotation with like everything we got to do. So like one person's in the shower while the other person is ironing their clothes, while the other person is probably making drinks, and then the other person is probably drinking drinks, and we're just on rotation. So Marcus, I think Marcus was either third or fourth in line for the shower, right? Which means he's spending most of the time drinking, because either he's making the drinks, drinking the drinks, or drinking a drink while ironing. So by the time he gets into the shower, he's already lightweight faded, because we're drinking Incredible Hulks. So for those of you who don't know what an Incredible Hulk is, first off, shame on you. Second of all, God bless you. And third of all, please don't drink this drink. So it's part Hennessy, part Hypnotic, which I don't know what kind of liqueur that shit is. I can't think of it off the top of my head. But basically, when you mix light blue and brown, you get this color of green. And then just the feeling that you get off that shit, you're probably gonna feel like you're the goddamn Incredible Hulk, right? It's guaranteed to get you faded. And unfortunately for Marcus, he's a lightweight. So we're all ready. We're all, you know, pretty toasty. Headed to the spot. We're in, there's two cars of us, because there was another group that had gone up there. And we're all meeting each other at the spot. So we're walking, and we're walking to the club, and Marcus, he's faded, you know what I mean? Like, he's good, but he's faded, right? The rest of us are just cool. We're probably one or two away from being, we're probably two or three away from being where Marcus is, but we're all pretty much good. And so we're walking. This fool Marcus somehow manages to end up on the ground, right? He's like, ah, my ankle. He's holding his ankle. We're walking to the club. Like, I don't know what happened. So I turn around, and this guy's on the ground holding his his ankle. And I'm like, what? What is going on? And he's like, oh, I twisted my ankle. I'm like, oh, my God. Like, really? How did you twist your ankle walking to the club, right? And so
I'm gonna try my best to describe it. So if you've ever seen those concrete slabs, those little stopper things in front of parking spots that pretty much stop you from being able to drive completely forward, otherwise it's gonna fuck up the undercarriage of your car. He managed to step on one of those, and he was trying to step over another one, but his drunk ass missed, stepped halfway onto it, and twisted his ankle, and that's how he's on the ground. So I'm like, come on, man, like, just get up, you'll be fine. Granted, in my mind, I'm thinking, he's faded, he's not going to feel it, but at the same time, if he's feeling it now and he's faded, it must be pretty bad. And Marcus is kind of a heavier set dude. So, like, that's a lot of weight on the ankle. But anyway, we get him up and we get into the club. So there's probably 6 or 7 of us in this club. It's not that big of a space, but it's cool. It's a nice little spot. We all kind of go our separate ways. And kind of just go, you know, do whatever it is that we're doing. I'm curious. I'm just walking around trying to see what the space looks like and everything. I'm just, you know, I'm just curious about it all. And so I see this girl staring at me, right? And I only notice her because, like, I'm looking around trying to find my friends. And I keep seeing, like, out of the corner of my eye, like, these eyes looking at me. And it's just really weird. So, like, I kind of don't want to look because I know that it's some girl staring at me. My hope is that she's not ugly. Because then I might, then who knows what's going to happen. I might not be interested. Like, yeah, it's vain. But I'm 19. I'm a little tipsy. I'm in a nightclub. Like, what do you expect? And so I turn, and she's actually pretty cute, so she comes over and starts talking to me. We just strike up a conversation. I definitely lied about my age, right? She was, I don't know how, I don't remember. I think she said she was 24, and I think I told her I was 22 or some shit like that. We strike up a conversation. And, you know, I'm telling her I'm here with, you know, some friends of mine, and she's there by herself. So she, you know, wants to meet some of my friends. I'm telling them about, like, you know, how ridiculous these guys are and about how my one friend twisted his ankle. And so we go to the dance floor just to dance. But, like, I saw a couple of my friends there. And so there's my buddy Marcus on top of one of those boxes that, like, go-go dancers dance on, going up there to dance with some unattractive girl, which, one, lets me know that his ankle's okay, and two, that he's even more intoxicated than I actually thought. So we get him down. We get a couple more people just to, like, you know, grab him. And so Kev comes up to me and is like, hey, man, I'm not feeling good. Like, I'm going back to the hotel. Like, I think I'm going to throw up. And it's like, oh, shit. Like, okay. So he leaves. He drove. But back to the hotel is not that far. It's a cheap cab ride. It's like, all right, whatever. And so we're going, like, you know, just having a good time. And we decide to go grab some food. It's probably like 12:30. I'm hungry. I'm like, do you want to go grab some food? She's like, sure. So I don't really know any good places. So I'm looking for some of my other friends who have been up there before, and I can't really find any of them. I'm looking for Marcus mainly because he's drunk. Marcus is the one that I'm mainly concerned about. And so Marcus's brother comes up to me and he's like, hey, have you seen Marcus? I'm like, uh-uh. Like, the last time I saw him, I was getting him off of this box, and then I gave him to Kev. Kev says he's going to the hotel because he was sick and he's throwing up. I haven't seen him. So it's like, okay. So we do like a lap around the club, don't see him. And so the girl I'm with, you know, she started to get concerned because obviously we're concerned. And it's like, man, this isn't good. You know what I mean? Like, we need to find Marcus. So we get in the cab, me and her get in the cab, we go back to the hotel. I'm guessing maybe he took a cab, went back there. I get there, Kevin's throwing up, right? He's in the bathroom throwing up. I'm like, where's Marcus? He's like, I don't know. He didn't come here. And I'm like, oh my God. He's like, well, where is he? I was like, I don't know. He left the club and didn't say anything to anybody. We don't know where he is. So we're, mind you, we're calling his phone at this time and it's ringing. So it's not dead, but he's not picking up. And so we're like, oh my God, like, where the fuck is this guy? And so I call his phone one more time and someone picks up, right? Voice of some guy picks up and he's like, hello? And I'm like, Marcus? He's like, oh, you must be trying to get a hold of your friend. Yeah, man. He's in pretty bad shape. Is he supposed to be getting on a bus headed to North Vancouver right now? And I'm like, what? No, he's not supposed to get on a bus right now. Like, where the hell is he going? And he's like, I don't know, man, but he's on like a city bus headed to North Vancouver. And he's like, yeah, is he supposed to be doing that? It's like, no, not even a little bit is he supposed to be getting on a bus headed to North Vancouver. And so I'm talking to the guy and I'm like, okay, well, where are you getting off at? And can you just get our friend off the bus with you? I'll come to where your stop is and come pick up my friend. Like, can you please do that? And he's like, oh yeah, no problem. And so like, I'm talking to the girl and I'm like, okay, so he says this is where he's going. Do you know where that is? And she's like, oh yeah, I know where that is. And it's like, okay, thank God. And so I take Kevin's car. We get in the car and we start driving to the location. I tell Marcus's brother, like, you know, he's on a bus headed to North Vancouver. This guy answered his phone. He's going to get him off the bus with him. And then I'm going to pick him up from the stop. And he's like, well, where are you guys going? I'm like, well, we're going to, you know, whatever. Like, this is where he said he was going to go. He's like, all right, I'm going to meet you there. Mind you, I know that Marcus's brother is upset, right? Like, I know he's upset, but he's not upset at Marcus. He's more so upset at, like, he's going to be upset at the guy. Why? I don't really understand, but he's going to be upset at the guy. And that's not going to end well for, you know, oh boy. And so I'm thinking, like, okay, like, we got to figure out a way to, you know, change this up and get Marcus before his brother could get to it, because it's not gonna be good. So we're driving, we get to the spot, and the bus pulls up, and sure enough, off comes Marcus with this random white dude, you know, totally drunk. And we get them in the car and I'm like, man, you know, I can't thank you enough. Like, I really appreciate it. Like, I'm sorry about my homeboy. Like, you know, he's just super drunk. Like, he's a lightweight, doesn't really drink that often, yada, yada, yada. And he's like, oh no, man, like, it's all good. Like, I totally understand. And I was like, you know, can I give you some money? Like, just, you know, as a thank you for helping out. And he's like, no, man, like, no, you don't got to do that. Like, if you could give me a ride up the hill to my house, I'd appreciate it. So I'm like, hell yeah, like, that's the least I could do. So I don't tell Marcus's brother that I got him. I tell him I got him after I dropped the dude off. And the dude, and Marcus's brother wanted to meet the dude. Why? I have no idea. There's no reason for him to want to meet him whatsoever. Like, you don't need to meet him. And so I'm like, okay, we're gonna figure out a way to, like, get Marcus back to the hotel and let his brother deal with it later. So we drive back to the hotel. Marcus is pretty much passed out in the back seat. We get there. His brother's there, heated, right? Hella mad. His older brother, he's there hella mad about this whole shit. And so I'm like, okay, you know, we're gonna go. Like, Marcus's brother comes to the backseat, is like slapping his brother in the face, trying to get him to wake up. Kevin is done throwing his life up, so he's just like, where the fuck is Marcus? He's asleep in the backseat if you want to go see him. And so Marcus ends up getting to the hotel, passes out. Me and old girl go and grab some breakfast at Denny's and kind of, you know, that's one hell of a way to meet somebody, right? Like, that's one hell of a way to meet somebody. Like, oh, hey, it's nice to meet you. What's your name? Oh, my name is so-and-so. Where are you from? Oh, by the way, like, we have to go on this scavenger hunt to find my drunk friend. Like, can you help us out? But that right there just shows you how great Canadians are, man. So polite, so helpful, willing to help a complete stranger from another country find their drunk friend who decided to get on a city bus headed in the opposite direction of where our hotel was simply because an Incredible Hulk took them there. And the best part of the story is that when we got Marcus off the bus, Marcus was no longer wearing his red button-up shirt that he was wearing when we got to the club. Where is that shirt? Nobody knows. But that shirt, if that shirt had a mouth, the story it would tell would probably be even better than the story I just told just now. R.I.P. to the red shirt.